the games, you follow the team, you wear the colors with pride, and you have questions, and only one man can answer them. Get the answers to the tough questions.
Time for some high school football talk here on Drive Time Sports. It's state tournament week. Gotta be honest with you, I like the new format. Last year, week 10 was an exhibition contest. It featured 3A North going up against 3A South opponents. And one of the big problems was you had teams playing each other in week 10, and you knew they were going to play each other the very next week in the first round of the state tournament. They got rid of that format this year. Instead, 1 and 2 seeds get a bye, 3 play 6 from the opposite division, and vice versa. Same with 4 and 5. And so it's the play-in round for high school football. Now, the Emory Spartans will be in action on Thursday. They'll take on Richfield on the road, 4 o'clock, right here on KOAL. But the Carbon Dinos will actually dive into action tomorrow. They take on Juan Diego. Again, a road contest set to begin at 4 p.m. Joining us right now to talk a bit about that, we have Coach Josh Huntsman. Coach, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on.
Definitely, Coach. I always look forward to it. Let's dive right into it and talk about what we have up and coming tomorrow, actually. You guys will go toe-to-toe with Juan Diego in the opening round of the 3A State Championship Tournament. There was a three-way tie in the 3A South, and that's who ended up losing the coin flip, Juan Diego, so that's who we have up first.
Yeah, definitely was. You know, GWAB actually won the coin toss. They elected to be second. And so with them electing to be second-place team, it put them into another flip with Summit Academy. And Summit Academy would have won it anyways because they had the head-to-head over Juan Diego this year.
As far as Juan Diego goes, does it matter to you? I mean, Summit Academy, GWAB, Juan Diego, is there a preference on your end?
Well, it's all sixes. You know, all three teams are great football teams. We just have to go out and perform, execute, and do the things that we can do to be competitive in the football game.
Yeah, I mean, that's really all it boils down to. As far as the the common opponents go, I mean, there's not really a whole lot to gauge in that regard. Juan Diego did play Manti, and it was 42-14. I look at some of the other scores to maybe some comparable teams. They beat Richfield by 31 points. They did have their hands full with Summit Academy. Summit Academy, if I'm not mistaken, scored 51 points in like three quarters on this team. So is there some vulnerability there from what you've been able to gauge on Juan Diego? And if so, where is it?
They need to make mistakes. You know, they need to fumble the ball. They need to put the ball on the turf, and we need to be able to pick it up. So if we win that turnover ratio, I think that we have a very good shot at beating this football team. And, you know, and like I said earlier, it's a whole new season. And so everyone goes into this with an 0-0 record. And if you win 4 games, you're going to be state champions. And our goal all year has been win 4 games. And so that puts us in a perfect position to do the things that we need to do to be successful.
You guys had a golden opportunity this past weekend, Coach, to earn win number 1 against Judge Memorial. This was a game I really thought you guys were going to win this game going into the weekend. Again, it falls in line. I believe that's now 3 or 4 games in which you guys have lost by one possession. What happened in this game that prevented you guys from walking away with a W?
I didn't punt. And I put it solely on myself. I can't put it on my team. We had the ball with 30 seconds left in the first half. We were on the 35-yard line coming out. And it was a 4th and 1, and I thought, you know what, we get the first down, we go in, up 12-6 at halftime, and we're in great shape. And I should have punted. I didn't. We didn't get the first down. It's on me.
Is that, going back to it and looking at the scenario, what was it about that particular instance that said, you know what, I'm going to go for it? Did you have to think about it, or did you know immediately, no, I'm going to go for it here?
I called the timeout, and I thought, you know what, this would be a huge confidence boost for our team if we can get the first down here, go into halftime with the lead, and put them away in the second half, because we knew we were getting the ball coming out in the second half. And so, you know, it was a strategic call on my part, and I was out.
You know, as far as that instance goes, and I don't know if maybe if this is something that registers to the kids. To me, Coach, hearing you say, okay, look, it's 4th and 1, we're on our own side of the field, still I'm going to go for it, that tells me you have confidence in your defense.
You know, and definitely I would do it again, in a heartbeat. I was a firm believer that our kids were better prepared. They were a better football team. They were stronger, and they were more physical. And, you know, just we had a low snap. And quarterback couldn't get it up into Nate's arms, and we were, you know, it was just kind of doomed from the beginning, when it started out. But honestly, I'd do it again. do it again in a heartbeat. I have ultimate faith, confidence in our kids, and I know that they're good football players. I know that they're tough kids, and I know that if 9 times out of 10 we get that first down.
I don't want to focus just on the negatives, Coach, because there was plenty of positives, and you guys had a chance to win this game, specifically late, but you also scored in different aspects. Jalen Dennis, a kid that you and I have talked about a couple of times on the air this year, had a pick six. Huge boost for you guys. You found multiple ways to score the football. What were some of the positives to you that you'll use tomorrow against Juan Diego?
Good hard downhill running. You know, definitely our kids played tough. You know, we got Nate to the outside a couple of times where he was able to get around the end and score. Colin Lewis ran one right up the middle, ran through about 6 or 7 defenders to get in the end zone. And so, you know, we're going to put our hats on that. We're gonna try to come out. We're going to try to be physical. We think that we may have an advantage in that aspect. You know, they do have big defensive linemen, but they're fairly slow. And so if we can hit them quick, and hit them often, hit them fast, you know, I think that we're going to have a good chance at gaining positive yardage on every play that we touch the ball.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dino football team. Coach, in this game against Judge Memorial, I believe Nate averaged something close to 8 yards per carry. Colin Lewis was averaging something around 4 to 5 yards per carry. I mean, that's ideal for what you guys want to do offensively, right? I mean, that's a perfect complement.
Definitely is. You know, Nate finished with 170 yards. Colin finished with about 60. And, you know, that's kind of right where we want to be. We didn't throw the ball as well as we should have. You know, so that aspect of our game was kind of out the window. And so they knew that we were either going to go to Colin or we were going to go to Nate. I mean, I repeated plays all night long. I'd go to Colin on one side of the field. I'd go to Nate, same play, just different side of the field the very next play. And so, you know, we felt like we had an advantage there that, you know, we definitely had some power in the middle and we had some speed on the outside.
Coach, let's move forward and we'll talk about Juan Diego. I haven't got to watch any video on Juan Diego this year, but I did last season, got to call a game, a Juan Diego Emory game. And did they still run out of the veer option as they did last season? Is that still what they're going to rely on offensively?
They will, yeah. They're, you know, definitely that is their bread and butter. Quarterback is tough again. They've got another Hoffman there, quarterback, and he does a very good job, you know, securing the ball. And he's got a very stout fullback who, you know, is averaging anywhere between 6 and 7 yards a carry. And so if we can be stout in the middle and do the things that we've been taught all year, you know, we're gonna be able to get into their backfield and disrupt some of the things that they want to do.
Veer option is a very simple offense. I mean, when you break it down, there's essentially three options. The fullback's going to get the ball, he's going to hit the A-gap. The quarterback's going to keep the ball, he's going to get to the C-gap, or the quarterback is going to pitch the ball to the running back. I mean, that's essentially it when you talk about the veer option. How important, when stopping it, is the nose tackle playing off of the block and the center filling that front side? I mean, how important is it to stop that particular aspect to have success defensively in this game? Because really, that's as simple as the veer offense is, right?
It definitely is. You know, it's and you go back to the movies where he says we run the veer offense. It's like Novocaine. Give it time and it will work. And, you know, they're going to get their yardage. They're going to make their plays. But if you can contain it, and if you can keep it to 2 yards here, 3 yards here, you're going to have a much better shot in the ball game. You know, you definitely have to have a good nose tackle. Your nose tackle has to take the center and put him right in the lap of the quarterback. And if he puts him in the lap of the quarterback, you disrupt the timing of everything they're trying to do. And so we're definitely gonna bring our nose tackles up. Our nose tackle is gonna play right over the top of the center. We're gonna go into a 5 front and see what we can do against their big boys up front.
Now, I mean this in the cleanest way possible, but when you go up against someone that has an athletic quarterback like Juan Diego running out of the veer, it's fairly important to make sure their quarterback Zach Hoffman is hit on every single play, right?
You definitely want to hit him every single play. He needs to know that he's been in a football game. Because if he stays clean and if that pocket stays clean for him to hand the ball off or the pocket stays clean for him to run outside, it's just going to hurt you all night long. And, you know, you definitely have to hit him. You have to get his uniform a little bit dirty, and he has to know that he's in a game. And if he doesn't, then it's going to be a long night for your defense.
I remember Bronco Mendenhall, coach at Virginia, former coach at BYU, talking about stopping the veer offense. And I remember him saying defensively, it's unselfish, and individually, you have to tackle the man that you're responsible for. That's it. I mean, that's where he said he breaks down stopping the veer option.
Yeah, over the last 2 practices, we practiced on Saturday and we practiced on Monday, and I preached, do your job. just do your job. And that's, you only have one assignment, and this is your gap. Stay in your gap. You know, I told our nose tackle, you've got to tackle the dive every single time. I told the tackles, you've got to go from dive to inside quarterback. And then the defensive ends have quarterback inside pitch, and then the outside linebackers have pitch to sideline. You've just got to, it's assignment-oriented football, and it's something that you cannot prepare for. You just have to get into the flow of the game, and it has to happen. And that's why teams run it, because they know that you can't prepare for it in 3 or 4 days. And so it's a very difficult offense to defend unless you do your job.
Nothing obviously would make, I'm sure, you smile brighter than to go on the road and knock off Juan Diego. The short week, and this isn't just a short week, it's an extremely short week. I mean, you're back at it on Monday. I guess you're going through walkthroughs on Tuesday, and then boom, you're playing on Wednesday. That benefits the underdog, doesn't it?
I think it definitely does, you know, and the nice thing was is we were able to get that practice in on Saturday, so we were able to get a good look at what we needed to do offensively. Yesterday we focused a little bit more on defense. Today we're actually going to go a little bit more, we're going to go full pads today just so that we can get, you know, a little bit more of the defensive aspect in so that we can actually see the veer. You know, we can't simulate it in practice, but we're going to continue to try, and we're going to have our scout team show us what the veer looks like, and we're going to, you know, flow to the ball and make sure that we're where we need to be, make sure that all of our responsibilities are correct, and you know, it's going to be fun. Tomorrow's going to be a great football game. 4 o'clock, fair place, on the turf. It's going to be fast. It's going to be furious, and I think, you know, if we do the things that we need to do, we can come out of there with a win.
Yeah, and as far as the offense goes, Coach, do you want to play fast tomorrow? Is that something that you're going to try to do, pick up the tempo, control the tempo offensively?
We want to control the tempo tomorrow. We're going to run a little bit more out of that split back look that we've been showing quite a bit. You know, with our two running backs, with Nate and with Colin, I think that we can do some damage with that 1-2 punch. And so we're going to slow it down a little bit. We're going to come out of the huddle and try to control as much of the tempo as we can.
Well, Coach, again, it's great to talk with you. It's great to get you back on the show as we prepare for the state tournament. The season's gone by in a hurry, but this is the new format. I mean, this is the format that you and I had talked about in the summertime. I know we both liked it. We're getting rid of Week 10. We jump into the play-in round, which is a lot of fun. I like that we have meaningful football in Week 10, opposed to last year where we had, let's be honest, half the teams knowing that they're going to play that same team the very next week. I mean, this is interesting.
It definitely is, and you know, and you see comments. You see comments on the boards where it says, oh, yeah, you've watered this down. You've got an 0-9 team playing a 7-2 team and this and that and the other thing. You know, that doesn't matter right now. None of that matters. It's football. You strap it on just like they do. Our kids, you know, we don't have a win. Their kids right now in the playoffs, they don't have a win either. And so it's two 0-0 teams getting after each other. And that's the beauty of this format, to where you may not have had such a successful season, but you still have an opportunity to do what you need to do to be successful in the postseason.
Yeah, I would argue that. I would argue with saying you've watered it down, because this season, opposed to the last, you know, 5 or 6 years we've been in this 3A North, 3A South format, it actually... It favors the teams that finished 1-2. There's actually incentive now for you to win your division. You get a bye week.
Yeah, you definitely do, and that's the great part of it. But you know, I like to read some of the comments, because people will tell you just how they feel when they can hide behind the internet.
Right.
And so when they hide behind the internet, they tell you just how they feel. And you know, we were told that we were a garbage team, and that we didn't deserve to be in the playoffs. And I can argue with that, because I've watched our kids every single week go out there and put it on the line. And, you know, these people who are hiding behind pseudonyms, they don't do that. They don't put it out on the line like these kids do. And they're disparaging 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-olds and think that it's cute and think it's funny and think that, you know, this is an NFL team. Now, these are high school kids who are doing the best they can to try to make a successful season. And so I think it's a beautiful format. I think it's great for our kids. I think it's great for Juan Diego's kids. I think it's great for everyone in general, because it gives you something to play for at the end of the season.
No doubt. No doubt. I agree 100%. Coach, it's always fun to get you on the show. Thank you again. Best of luck tomorrow. And hopefully next week when we talk, we're talking about a playoff victory.
I definitely hope so, too. And remember, go Dinos. Cannot watch us tomorrow night.
Definitely. Go Dinos. Thank you, Coach.
Yep. Appreciate it.
Again, Coach Josh Huntsman of the Carbon Dino football team. We're going to break for just a moment. When we come back, we'll move over to talk NBA basketball. It's a Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.